You're listening to an audio recording of 2015 LDS Homeschool Conference in Salt Lake City.
Thanks, you guys. I am so glad to have everybody here today. I'm so excited to share a little bit about this topic. I want to give you a little more introduction about myself because we, sadly, have lost our introducer paper. And so April's doing the best she can on the fly. Thank you so much, April, for trying your best, considering how little you had. I have been homeschooling for 12 years. That means that my oldest is 14. And she's going to be turning 15 soon. And we are 12, right now we're 14, 12, 10, and 8. And over the years, homeschooling's been a really big adventure. When I started homeschooling, my oldest was 3, and she just came out of my womb different than any child I ever thought I was going to have. I don't know what you were like before your first kid came, but I imagined that we'd get along and we'd have these parties and we'd just play all the time. I thought it was going to be so much fun. And she came out and she had a different agenda. Everything she wanted to do was completely different than everything I wanted to do. And everything she wanted to do was actually pretty much different than what anyone else wanted her to do. And so I learned pretty quickly that if I was going to have her be successful in any kind of setting, we were going to have to do something non-traditional. I think this was cemented in my mind the day she walked out of her bedroom at about 2 1/2, fully clothed, but something didn't seem right. So I looked at her and I said, "Lillian, do you have underwear on?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Okay, go back in your room and put on some underwear." She was in her room for 10 minutes. What is she doing in there? But I got busy doing all that mom stuff, right? I was probably changing the diaper of the younger brother and answering the phone. She comes back out, and she has her underwear on over her shorts. And I said, "No, you go back and put those on the way they're supposed to be put on." So this is what she's like. And I knew that homeschool was going to be an option that we really had to consider, even though I'd never considered it before then, because this is a kid who wants everything to be different. And sure enough, everything we've done with her has been non-traditional, start to finish. Now, of course, brother number 2 came along. He likes everything in perfect order, synchronized, down. He likes lists. He likes schedules. He likes all of that. So that's the great thing about homeschool, is that you can create non-traditional for one kid and super structure for another kid, and somehow you can still survive. So that's my experience with homeschooling. That's where I got started. And over the years, I've learned lots of different things that make my homeschool just go a little bit better, because homeschooling is a lifestyle choice, not just an educational choice. And when you are trying to figure out, how am I going to make this happen and still have laundry done, dishes done, and maybe actually have time for myself to do something, you have to figure out how to fit all those pieces in. So today, what we're going to talk about is, how do I fit all of those pieces in so that I can successfully homeschool and still have a day and do everything? So that's what we're going to do. Now, what I would like you to do is, if you brought a pen and a paper, I'm going to have you write something down for me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say your days go on a average basis? We're not talking about the very best day. We're not talking about the day you just got over the flu and you want to die. We're talking about those, just that average day in the middle, on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being it is a tornado zone, and 10 being we're awesome and I don't need to change. Where on that scale do you hit? 1 to 10. Okay, by show of hands, who put a 10? Because if you did, then you have to come up and teach this class, because I wouldn't put a 10. Who put a 9? 8? 7? Couple 7s, good. 6? 5? 4? 3? And I'm not going any lower than that. I am so... Marianne, you're awesome. She's like, "It's really crazy at my house."
It's so great.
I'm just owning the craziness, and that's why I'm here. Okay, so I'm hoping this class today will move you up several numbers on that scale. Obviously, I'm not going to take you from a 3 to a 10. I know. I'm not going to take any from a 7 to a 10, but I'm hopefully going to move you up 2, 3, maybe even 4 or 5, depending on where you are, because we're going to teach you a couple principles today that can radically alter how your day goes based on how you structure your morning. And you'll be happy with this. 6 or 7 would be awesome. You can't wait for 6 or 7. Okay. First thing I want you to do is I want you to think about what does a really good day feel like? If you imagined that day when everything really was going pretty well, what does it feel like? Now that means these are the feelings. So you're looking for adjectives. You're looking for happy, wonderful, stuff like that. You're not going to tell me yet the things you're doing. Just how does it feel? I'll give you about 30 seconds to write that down. Actually, let's do this first. What are some of the adjectives that you wrote down on your paper? Is anyone willing to share? What does a really good day feel like?
Unencumbered.
Okay, so unencumbered. I was able to get everything done that I was hoping to get done. Smooth. Awesome. That's awesome. Let's hear them. Productive, peaceful, organized, but flexible. I love it. Yes? Joyous, accomplished, and content. Anybody else? One more? Empowered. All right. Did you want to share? No, I want to hear it. You're like, I've got to share. Harmonious, unified, special. So what I love about these words is I'm starting to see some of those abstract paintings in my mind. They don't have images, but they just feel good, right? They just feel, everybody feels content and happy. Okay, next exercise. I just want you to take 30 seconds. What does this day look like? What are some of the things happening on this day that we just described as a feeling? And I'm actually going to set my timer because I'm terrible at remembering or knowing what time we're actually talking about. What does it look like? Okay. So what are some of the things that are happening on a day that looks like you're imagining? Somebody want to share? Yeah. Okay, so that you know what's going to happen, it's predictable. I love it. What? Teamwork. Describe that so teamwork is kind of broad. What does it look like specifically for you? What's teamwork? Everybody's working together to get certain tasks done. I love it. What else? What else is happening on this day? All your kids are dressed on time. That's like noon, right? That's just before you have to leave for that co-op class, right? Yay, we made it into the car on time. No judgment here. No judgment here. I do a group mentoring at night. I was talking to, where's Karina? And she's saying, you always look so great at night with group mentoring. I said, that's because I showered 10 minutes before we started. It's like 8 o'clock at night when I'm doing this, so no judgment. Homeschool moms, we get to shower whenever it fits in. And they get to get dressed whenever we have to go somewhere. That's one of the great things about homeschooling. What were you going to say? So you're doing your scripture reading done in the morning. And that's happening before you get the rest of the day. Because you know that sets and grounds the whole day. Right. Yeah. Her perfect day is everyone is happy to be in their home. Okay, so if we want to have a good day, we have to start out with a vision of what a good day looks like. And that's what you guys just started. Now, we just scratched the surface. If you really want to spend some time with this, you want to give it more than a minute. You want to go home and think about, what does this day look like? Because sometimes we have two things going in our mind. We're either nebulous and thinking, oh, I just want it to kind of be something that this isn't. You know what you don't want because you don't like this, but you don't know what you do want. So you want to sit down and say, what do I want? What does that look like? The other challenge is we will get on our social media sites or we'll be talking to someone at a co-op and they'll describe what their perfect day looks like. Or, oh, we had this great day today, and we do this in the morning and this during the day. And we start to think, oh, well, my day needs to look like that in order, because then I can have the feeling that they project. So as I'm talking about my day and I say, oh, perfect day, we had this and this and this, and you're sensing that I had a great day, the part of your mind that you're not always paying attention to goes, if I do that, then I'd have a good day. Instead, and so then we try to duplicate that, and it's not a good day. Because we didn't start with, how do I create the day I want? So the first step in doing what we're going to talk about today is knowing what does a good day look like and feel like for me. You have to create a vision of that before you can successfully have that day. Create the vision, know what you want it to look like, and then we can go out and put some tools together to help you get that vision of what you want to look like. So that's step one. Step one is create a vision. I recommend, and I love speaking at this conference because I can say this, you should pray about it. Sometimes we get in our minds all these things that we want to have happen, and the Lord has a very different plan. So you both want to pray about what should we be doing consistently. And then as you get more into this, you can be praying specifically, what should we be doing today? Things radically changed in my home when I started saying in my prayers in the morning, what do I need to do today? Not what do I want to do today, but what do you need me to do today? And then suddenly, instead of having this massive to-do list that was all the things I thought needed to happen, the Lord would sometimes say, you guys need to go to the park. It's time to sit on the couch and watch a movie together. I need you guys to reconnect. Because I would get so busy with these assignments and these work things, or sometimes it would be, you need to clean up your house. Okay, fine. You know, if you insist. Including the Lord as we structure our day is huge. Because he's a creator, and we're about to create our day. And if we partner with the Lord, we can be co-creators. I personally think I do a heck of a lot better when I have the Lord helping me. Because that's like me super magnified. I like to imagine myself, I'm like a superhero if I put the Lord next to me. And I'm like, sweet, now I can do a lot of stuff because you're going to magnify my weaknesses. Yay! Okay, Ether 12:27 is a homeschooler's favorite scripture. Ether 12:27 says that he's going to take our weaknesses and turn them into strengths as we apply the Lord's grace. Grace is the enabling and strengthening power of the atonement, which means that I get to take the power of the Savior and the atonement and apply it to all the things about my day that don't go well. And then together, we're going to do something awesome. Not alone, but together. Okay, that is not in my notes, but I don't ever get to talk about that stuff. So. Cool, yay! I'm coming back. I'm going to teach. Anyway, okay. Side note to myself. Okay. Let's see. The second thing I want to teach you is that once you have a vision, you have to create a plan. Knowing what you want it to look like is very different than knowing how you're going to execute that. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, I really don't like this. I really want this. Now you have your vision. This is how I'm going to go about getting it. This is how I'm going to go about getting it. When we make a plan, it's really, really easy to get into, okay, making a plan has two parts. This is how I want to describe this. We get really good at making to-do lists. How many of you have really big to-do lists that just feel like they go on, and you can never get to the end of the to-do list? Who feels like that? Yeah? Yeah. So to-do lists are wonderful because our brains cannot hold on to everything that we know we need to do. The challenge with to-do lists is that they don't tell us how to get them done. They just sit there. They just sit there. So I'm going to teach you a system today. That's what you get when you don't turn off your phone. Did everybody turn their cell phones off? My phone's talking to me. I'm going to teach you a system today that we will be able to make a plan. Now, before I teach this to you, I want you to know that you successfully, this works if you do it on a daily basis. So taking a little bit of time in the morning or a little bit of time the night before to implement some kind of planning system is really, really important. So there was a time period years ago when I had this brilliant idea. I was going to put my family in a play. We were all going to do a play together. I did theater growing up. I loved it. And then I got married and I had to stop. I thought, my kids are getting older now. We could do a play together. I thought this was a great idea. My kids at the time were 6, 8, 10, and 12. Now, my youngest is, he's a wild card. And I didn't factor this piece in when we just signed up for this play. And we signed up for a play that was going to be put in a nice theater, but it was being produced by a guy who just had written a play, and he had the money to produce it himself. So this was not like your community theater traditions. He was crazy. The only people who are going to cast my whole family are crazy enough to cast my whole family, which meant that we were at rehearsals every day for 6 weeks from 7 to 10 at night. I'm not sure why I thought this was a good idea, right? So let's do the math. That's 7 to 10 every day for 3 hours, starting the middle of July, and then the performances start at the beginning of September. Starting in September, we have a performance every night where we have to be at the theater at 5:30. We get home at 11:30, and they have two performances on Saturday. My youngest was done at about day 3 of this rehearsal. So I'm not only trying to perform, because I'm in the play as well, but I'm also trying to keep him happy. So I'm doing the mom thing and the performer thing, and that's really hard to do in your brain. On top of that, my kids have severe food allergies. So there is no let's stop at McDonald's on the way to the theater. I am making all the food for us and all the treats because I'm bribing my son with brownies every time to get him to go on stage. You go on stage, I'll give you a brownie. You go on stage, I'll give you a sucker. Would you just go? And he would try to take people's clothes off on stage. Like he'd come up behind them and start to untie their clothes. I was like, ah! Okay, 3 weeks after we finished this play, in which I really did, by the time it was done, swear I would never step foot on a stage again. 3 weeks later, we went to Disneyland. And we were at Disneyland and California for 10 days, where I had to cook all the food. And I figured out how, like, you can make food in a hotel room that doesn't have a kitchen. We got home, and I crashed. I was a mess. I was crawl in your bed and curl up in a ball and never come out again, a mess. I binge watched more Netflix than I think is humanly possible. And my children learned that chips are a food group because they could fix it themselves. I did not, during that period, ever plan anything. I would just kind of get up And then I would just kind of say, okay, well, I think we probably should eat some food today, maybe for dinner. And then I'd say, okay, and this was in the middle of school year, so I'd think, I don't know, I think we'll watch Magic School Bus and maybe I'll read you a book. I mean, it was really the lowest point that I'd ever been at. And as I started to heal, literally, from this experience, what I started to realize is that my planning in my morning, taking a couple minutes in the morning to figure out what my day was going to look like, was key to whether we were going to have a crazy day with absolutely nothing getting done, or a day where I actually felt like some things were happening and it was accomplishing. Okay. So, the number one rule about this planning system that I'm about to teach you is we chunk the day. We chunk it. When you get your planners and you buy them from the store, have you ever looked at, they do it by hours, right? They say, okay, at 9 o'clock we're going to do this, and at 10 o'clock we're going to do this. And what happens is, when we're homeschooling, children don't know that. They don't know that I just said I want to make that phone call at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's right when they decide to have a crisis. So chunking the day is going to give me the fluidity. I am going to show you how to put times on this schedule plan that I'm going to show you. But chunking the day is really important. And I have found that this is how we chunk the day. Morning, before kids get up, if your kids are over the age of 7, if you have babies, that chunk does not exist unless you are like super mom. When my babies were little and they weren't sleeping through the night, we just started the day whenever they started the day because I needed to sleep. So I'm going to put parentheses around that chunk because my youngest is 8 now and I can actually get up before they do. Now they all get up really late. So pre-kids. Our next chunk of the day is going to be that morning, we get up, we eat breakfast, we do that, we get everything we're going to do before we start school chunk of the day. So this is like set the tone for the day. Then we have our morning school time, or whatever you do after you've kind of got your home in order. Then we have our afternoon. Then we have our dinner, bedtime, whatever. And then if you don't have teenagers, it's whatever happens after kids go to bed. That's another parenthesis, because if you have teenagers, then you go to bed when they go to bed and you wish they went to bed a lot sooner. So I have lots of time in the morning now. I have absolutely no time in the evening. They stole it. They just moved. They migrated to the bottom half of my day instead of the top half of my day. Dinner, bedtime, and then whatever happens after you get kids in bed. Post-kids. So we got pre-kids and post-kids, and you only get one of those. And if you... Parent time. And if you are one of those amazing moms who have both little ones and teenagers, then quiet time in the middle of the day is like your saving grace, because you don't get post-time or pre-time. And my heart goes out to you. Because that's really hard. That's really hard. Okay, so we have these chunks. Now we're going to sit down, we're going to think through the day. Now, I'm going to show you how I do this. I was teaching this last week, and Karina is in my group mentoring. She came and talked to me, she said, this does not work for me, and then she came up with a new plan. She has a smaller notebook. Okay, so I call this the paper pen planning method. It's literally a spiral notebook and a pen. Because I like the flexibility of making my planning system work for me. I draw a line down the middle. Karina went to Walmart and got a smaller notebook that, there you go. She showed it to me. She can't, well, obviously I can't either when I'm teaching a class. Look at that line. Okay. You OCD people, I'm so sorry. Okay, here we go. So draw a line down the middle. This side is your to-do list. This side over here is your to-do list. But we're going to break it into categories, because what happens is if I'm just writing a to-do list, it's the things, I only can remember the things that are most important in my brain, right? But what about those things that should be important in my brain, but I'm having trouble remembering them? Like the relationships in my life. That phone call that I should make to a friend that I only think about, you know, way over there, but when I'm making a to-do list, I forget to write it down. So I break this down into a variety of categories. And the first one is personal. So I just literally write like a P and I circle it. I do personal because I know that taking care of me is really important. And if I don't take care of me, then everything else is going to fall apart. So I write down If I have a haircut, I write down to drink enough, how much water I'm going to drink that day. I remind myself. If I'm going to take a shower, I will often write shower down so I can cross it off. I'll remind myself. There is a reason for that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So I'm going to write down those things that apply to me. The next category is friends and family. And I do them in this order because I want to remember that that's the next most important thing, is my friends and my, actually family and then friends. My daughter has a birthday party. I'm going to write down that we need to be working on planning her birthday party. Do I need to make a phone call? Do I have to go visiting teaching? This, I actually put that instead of church. I put it up here so I can remember that they're supposed to be my friends and not just an assignment. So I put those up there. The next category, and if you are really into your garden, then these could be separate, but I put them together, is home and yard. My home and my yard. So I circle that, and home and yard is everything from cleaning up my kitchen to what am I going to do for laundry that day to what am I going to fix for dinner. If you're good at menu planning, I would transfer it here so you have it in one place. This is actually where I do my menu planning because I plan in the mornings just once a day. I need to go to a class probably on menu planning, but it works for me once a day. This is where I write down if we're going to go grocery shopping, if I'm going to do any organizing, anything like that, that I know that I want to try to get done this day. Now, this isn't like the running everything I wish I could change in my house. This is just a what do I think needs to happen today. And my yard is the same way. Do I need to go water the garden? Do we need to weed outside? Shovel snow? Whatever. Okay. The next one I do is church. And this is where I write down what I need to do for my calling. Or if my kids are in scouts. Stuff like that. Right? If I have a talk, this is where I would write it down. And then after that, I write school. This is where I look. We tend to be really flexible with what we do, so I will. This is where I write down what the kids are going to do, and this is where I write down the stuff we're going to do together. If you have another, if you're following through a curriculum and you know you're just going to open up that curriculum, then you wouldn't need to do as much planning in school. But there's things we need to do for school that aren't the curriculum that we teach. It might be something in the future you need to schedule your kid for a class, or it might be we're going on a field trip, or we need to fundraise for something, or, oh, I need to pay for that. Whatever you're doing in school, it's a way to keep track. And the reason I'm doing this is every day I think through these. Now, I may get to church and not have anything for church. I'm the young women's camp director right now, so I'm actually on vacation from my calling. So sometimes, which is fine because I put all my time in you know, May, sometimes in my church calling, I don't have anything I have to do right now. So I just think through church and I go, nope, I'm good, and I move on. But that way I don't forget anything, right? Because it's so easy to forget. After school, I like to draw a line. But you don't have to. Underneath here are the projects that I'm working on that aren't specific to the things in my day. These are the assignments that I have. So if you've signed up to help put on something, or you have a business, or you volunteered, anything you'd like that, this is where I do all that extra planning. So for example, getting ready for this, you know, I wrote LDS Homeschool Conference, and then I started making a list. What do I need to do today to get ready for that? Do I need to email people about it? Do I need to give away my free tickets? Do I need to do whatever? So that's where I do that. Okay. I also have a Google Calendar where I just keep track of what's happening, and I check my Google Calendar when I'm making this list. Oh, yeah, I do have that field trip coming up in 3 days, and I still haven't paid my fee. And they're not going to let me come unless I pay. So I check my Google Calendar as a way to know what to put down here. All right, does anybody have any questions so far? Yes. That is a great question. It is also an entire class of a question. It's like, how do you engage the ranges? Here's my 30-second answer for that question. Some activities you can do together, right? So if it's an activity where it's hands-on, I try to create games and activities where they can play together. Sometimes I will do work during nap time or quiet time. So the 2-year-old goes off to quiet time, nap time, and then I can sit down with the 6-year-old. And sometimes I would have activities that the two-year-old could be doing in the home, so the six-year-old could be doing something else. So those are ways to do that. But my number one answer is, when my kids were six, we did so much playing that we didn't do a lot of sit-down book work. Because we delayed that a little bit because I felt like most of what they needed to learn at six could be done in a playing type of way. So rather than sitting down and doing math at a workbook, I would just create flashcards, and then we would play games like jump off the stool, run across the room, do a math problem, eat a chocolate chip. Jump off the stool, run, you know, I'd make up games like that, and then the two-year-old would just play with us. And we did, that sounds really time-intensive, but that would be that and maybe one other game, that would be school for the day, because six is young. They're little at six. But that's a whole different class. If you want to come talk to me more at my booth, we can talk a little bit more about that. Okay? Yeah. Yes, because my oldest, yes. So she knows she needs a schedule. She's come to the realization she needs a schedule, but the idea of creating a schedule brings up anxiety because then she feels like she'll be trapped within that schedule, in that box. So my daughter is like that. Every time I'd pull out a list or a schedule, she would like freak out. And as I've talked to people like her and like you, there's lots of things that could be going on. But when we feel that way, what I'm finding is happening is we feel like we don't have permission to change it once it's set. I mean, you make the schedule so you can change it. But there's a story playing in your head that says that for whatever reason, you don't have permission or control to change what comes out when someone puts something in front of you. So without going too deep or too personal, you might want to go back and say, what story has happened in my past that makes me feel like once I'm given a set of rules, I can't change them? Does that make sense? Yeah, because that's what you're talking about is often in our past what's happened is someone in that we value and respect has had a lot of authority over us, and we have trouble, we have felt like we can't stand up to that authority. And so now we see our schedule as authority. Yeah. Okay.
And I am great at making schedules. I even do flexible and fluid about them, changing them and doing things. But we're having a problem
Okay.
On the schedule. Kids are like, oh, schedule is good. Who cares? And I'm like, no. Okay, if you only have half an hour to eat, your kids are not going to be open all day.
Yeah. 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 So do you want the sanitized answer or do you want the real answer? That sounds to me like a discipline problem.
Okay.
That sounds to me like I'm like, go talk to Nicolene Peck. That to me sounds like your kids know that they don't have to do what you set up for them. And then they come up with ways to sabotage that. There might be additional things going on about why they want to sabotage a schedule that you put together. But if they're not responsive when you ask them to come, then you can discipline that. And then if you say the kitchen closes, what happens after the kitchen closes? Right. So then what happens when you do you discipline the whining and the crying? Yeah. So you have some dynamics going on in your home that are beyond. So if you can set the schedule, then it's how do you get people to follow it? Yeah. Yeah, and that sounds like, so there's the discipline, but then there's also the part about being able to, like, have enough, like, to know that you have enough value that they should respect what you present to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I'm important, and you should do this. Like, I'm the principal of this school, and when I stand up, you listen. And if they're not, so it may be they're like, well, I don't have to respect the schedule because mom doesn't even, like, she doesn't give off the vibe that I have to, which is like another, like, yeah. So. Nicklin Peck, her booth is right out there, actually. Like, I can see it, so. Yeah. You know, Richard's saying that we can get the kids to buy in, and I love that. And that's something I should have mentioned. Because any schedule you create, if you are able to get the kids to buy in because you've created it together, awesome. Because then everybody's on the same page. The other thing is, you want to make sure that the schedule has enough open flexibility space that you're providing the time for them to be successful. When my daughter was little, it would take her like an hour to get dressed in the morning. And so if we aren't setting up the day, and we're going to talk about this in just a second, so that they can be successful, then we're setting them up to fail. So if we don't give them enough time to accomplish the things they need to do in a pace that children need to accomplish things, we can then not be successful. So did you want to say something else? So we tend to think about our kids like little robots sometimes. And I feel really guilty when I do this, and I do it way more than I would like. Do this, do this, do this, do this. But if someone showed up in my home and just announced what my life was going to be like and didn't give me a why and didn't tell me what was coming up and they just gave me the next thing and then they kind of nagged me a lot and were like, come on, come on, come on, and I wanted to be doing something else and I didn't know what we were doing, I'd be really frustrated and I'd start to get really passive aggressive. And if they got to the point where they could force me to do those things because there was enough negative consequences, I'd do them, but then the relationships are shot. So the more relationship building and setting up and expectations, kids just do better with that. Okay, I've given you half of how this works. We've got to give you the other half. Okay, so we've looked at our Google Calendar. We've looked at all of this. We've figured out everything that has to be done. This is the to-do list. Now I'm going to teach you the magical other half of the system. We look first and we say, well, what has a time attached to it? So for me, it might be, well, okay, we're going to start our devotional at 9:30. Let's see, at 1 o'clock, I have to go visiting teaching. At 4, we've got piano lessons. I will show you what this looks like in just a second. And then at 6, we're going to eat dinner. That means at 5, I've got to start prepping. And then that's all I've got planned for the day. Okay, so there, I just wrote that. Can you guys see that? I wish I had a whiteboard, sorry. I just wrote the times in, sort of chunking the day, leaving bigger gaps. Okay, so now these things were written over here, right? But I got a whole bunch of stuff over here that's not written over here, and now I start to transfer it over. I look at my to-do list and I say, oh, I've got 3 things down here I need to do for that volunteer assignment for that co-op class that we're putting on a party next week, and I've got to do this and this and this. Huh. I've got visiting teaching from 1 to 2, but from 2 to 4, I don't have anything. Well, okay, 3:45, because I've got to drive to the piano lessons. That means I've got an hour and 45 minutes I can get stuff done. And this is not, I haven't put this time here. So that's where I'm going to write, this is where I'm going to get this done. I can get those 3 things done. You know, I bet those are only going to take me half an hour. What else could I fit in over there? Check Facebook. Okay. I write down when I'm going to check email and check Facebook. Because if I don't, I do it first thing in the morning, and then we don't have a day. I write down when I, and then I give myself permission to do that without feeling guilty. If you have a hard time getting off Facebook, then you set a timer. But I'm not just doing it whenever, and everything is a mess. I sometimes will write shower, clean kitchen. I'll write these things that I planned over here, particularly when I'm trying to learn how to add a new skill into my day. I will write it over here. As you transfer the things over, one of two things will happen. You will either discover that you now have amazing permission to do the things and you know when you're going to get them done, or you'll say, huh, there is no human way I can fit all of that over here. What do I take off? Or do I stay up later? This is the plan. This is the plan to make this happen. Now I'm chunking the day, right? So if I'm learning how to chunk, I'm thinking in chunks. My first day, so my planning happens in my pre-kid time because my kids are older now. And then I'm writing down in that next chunk, what do I get done during my morning setup, my home day time? What do we do during school time? I'm thinking of my page in chunks. You might want to draw a line if you need to visually see that. What I like about this is I do visually set up kind of what the day looks like, but I also can be flexible. If I have lots of little things I need to get done, now I have room to write all those things down, and I can cross them off. I like to cross things off. Not everybody does. Okay, does anybody have any questions about how we do this part of the day? No? The next, oh yes. Oh, okay. Take no thought of tomorrow. You're like, I just want to go to bed. Yeah, I get up and I do it in the morning. Karina was telling me she likes to do it at night. She actually keeps her thing right by the bed in case she thinks of something extra. Some people are morning people. Some people are night people. Depending on your schedule, you might have more time with certain people at certain times of the day, so you need to do your planning at other times of the day. When I had little kids, planning time was actually during breakfast. We'd be sitting there and I'd be feeding the kids. And that's when I finally got my breakfast time, that's when I would do my planning. So there were certain things I knew we were going to do in the morning, so I didn't need to plan those things. But I would do it as soon as I could to set the day. So either the night before to set the next day or in the morning to set the day. Yeah. Okay, I'll answer that question in just a minute. Let me teach this other principle, and then I'll, because I actually was going to end with that. Okay, so the last thing I want to teach you is the concept of building in a buffer. Building in a buffer. What I mean by that is this. We can be really good at saying, piano lessons are at 4, got to eat dinner at 6, I got to have my kids to scouts at 7, whatever. But if we don't build in a buffer of drive time, stinky diaper time, I just got that crazy text and I've got to answer it right now because my sister's in crisis time. If you don't build in time for all of those extra things, this won't work for you. So if I'm going to go to church and church starts at 11, we leave the house at 10:30. But we only live 5 minutes from the building. Because I know, that's when I tell my kids, we leave at 10:30. Now, sometimes we leave at 10:30. Sometimes we leave at 10:50. Because inevitably there's a kid who can't find their shoes. Or there's a kid who just doesn't want to go to church that day. Tell me I am not the only person who has a kid who does not want to go to church. And he's, he doesn't like his primary teacher. He's like, he can't find his church bag. He's sitting on the stairs crying. But because I've built in a buffer and allowed myself a space of time where something can happen, what's the worst that happens? I get there early. I get there early. There is nothing wrong with arriving 10 minutes early. And in fact, one of the reasons we arrive early is so we can do drinks of water and go to the bathroom before church starts at the church building. But I build in a buffer for everything. I say, okay, if we're going to do X amount of time, then I'm going to add 5 minutes or I'm going to add 10 minutes. I use winter time and coats with kids. That is like a 20-minute buffer, people. Car seats and coats and, yeah. The younger the kids, the bigger your buffer gets. And then when they're older, well, then it's just, it's different. It's a different, yeah, bad hair, my clothes don't match, you know. I can't go out because I have this zit on my face, so you have to have a 5-minute counseling session about their face and how they look okay and no one's going to notice. And I always take my glasses off and I'm like, look, if I don't have my glasses off, I can't see it, then no one else is going to notice that thing because that's really how the world goes. Everybody's looking at themselves with glasses on and everybody else with glasses off. If you wear glasses, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's pretty blurry. We're always way more aware of what we look like than everybody else. Okay, so build in a buffer. That was the last thing I wanted to teach you today, was this idea that you have to have a space as you're planning this. Did you notice as I went through and I said piano lessons, I realized, oh wait, drive time. Piano lessons start at 4, it takes 15 minutes to get there, it's going to take us 15 minutes to get our shoes on. I will write 3:30, prep for piano, so that I know I need to give myself that time. I still do that, even though after years and years and years of doing this, it's second nature in my head. I still write it down because then I can see, oh, I'm only going to have an hour and a half to do these other things, not 2 hours. Now, she asked, what is the most important part of the day? And I think if I were to answer that question in terms of what do I do during the school time, I would say it is our devotional that we do first thing in the morning. It grounds our day. I gather everybody together. We say a prayer. We say a scripture. And that is when we get into a different mindset. They leave their distractions behind because I insist, because if they bring things to devotional, then we have distractions. It's just the way it is. So they come and we center. And if we don't do anything else that day, at least we've gathered for that. And then we layer things past that. And I'm really excited. So how many of you do some kind of daily devotional? Yeah? Yeah? I love daily devotional. I love it. And this, in January, I was looking for a solution to simplify it because I felt like we were all over the place. And I found a book by Nicole Carpenter called 52 Weeks to Fortify Your Family. And if you've been to my booth, I got a chance to talk about this. And it was so exciting because she had taken a topic a week and given me scriptures that we could look up. So now I knew I could start having my kids practice opening and reading the scriptures and finding scripture references, which was really good for my kids who were still in primary and learning how to do that so they could feel confident in primary. And it was 5 minutes. It was really great. But I thought, you know what? I wish that I could bring in all of the other resources that LDS.org has. I wish I could print out a coloring page. So I was going in and I was typing up a scripture to memorize that week that went along with that topic. I was spending all this extra time. It was driving me crazy. And so I thought, Nicole, let's take all of the church content that's on these topics and let's expand it out and make it available for homeschoolers just like me so that I can play a video that goes along with that topic. Or I can show a video or we can read an article from the friend because it was all over the place. I thought, I want to make them all line up with honesty. Or with baptism, or with the plan of salvation. And so she and I partnered together, and we've created that so that you can have a daily devotional that can be 15 or 20 minutes. It can ground your day, because planning your day and then having this spiritual start for your day is so powerful. So we put those two together, and we've made it possible for you guys to now be able to go and study these topics every week. You have scriptures to look up, and you have all of these other access to all these other church websites and all these other resources that the church has put out that you can't find them easily. They're not all in one place. And we did it all. So I don't know what it would cost if you had to buy this in a store, but we've decided that if you get it this weekend, it's $10 for the book, but if you get the online access for a year as well, you can have the whole thing for $49. That's like $1 a week to be able to ground your family and have 15 minutes that just rock solid your day. Foundation, the rest of the day goes more smoothly. $1 a week. If you're interested in that, Nicole is actually here this weekend as well, and she's going to be at my booth right after. You can go anytime and have her autograph it, but if you want to come right after, you can come to my booth and get your book autographed. So it'd be really cool. So we can sign you up for that. As you're doing a devotional, as you're planning your day, as you're putting all these pieces together, what happens is your day starts to feel like those words you wrote down at the beginning. Go back and look at what I had you write down at the beginning. For those of you who came in a little bit late, what I had them write down is, what do you want your day to feel like? This is how you get your day to feel this way. Planning your day out, creating a foundation, and then going through and making that plan happen because you know you've set the time aside ahead of time. When we talked about creating vision, when we create it in our mind, you walk through this, you have created the whole day in your mind, right? You know what 6 o'clock is going to look like. You know what 4 o'clock is going to look like. Obviously, it very possibly can change. That's why we just write it on paper, and then you can cross it out and you can change it. You've created the day, and then you can go have that day. And if something happens and you have to take your pen and you change it, that is okay. But now you have a plan to work with. And the goal is your day will now feel more like those words that you wrote down at the very beginning of the class. That's what I want for you. If you have questions, I have a booth. I'm kind of like that direction. I have toys on my table. You can come find me right after. I will be gone for part of the day, and then I'll be back. So I'll be here for the rest of the day in the evening. I would love, if you have other questions about homeschooling, I actually mentor homeschool moms and dads all the time. So if you, Karina and Tracy are in my group mentoring right now. We're having fun, right? We're online, and they're asking questions, and I'm answering questions just like what you're asking. So I would love to have a one-on-one conversation with you if you want to come talk to me at my booth. I hope that your day is going to go just a little bit better. Thank you so much for joining me today.